Thank you for joining us today on Vision Unleashed, the podcast for leaders. My name is Sarah Goldalian, and I'm your host today here with Zach Clark, founder and lead coach of Development and Leadership Coaching. Today, we're launching a new format for our podcast, and we're talking about rapid success projects.
Exactly. It's great to be here with you, Sarah. And I love that we are changing the podcast format. It was just me trying to be brilliant, which is always very challenging. And, you know, kind of this monologue, and now we get to have a conversation. You know, you are an important part of our team here, serve as one of our coaches, working with other leaders, and are doing such a great job, and have so much to offer yourself, I think, even though you're hosting and getting to ask all the hard questions. I love putting
you on the spot.
Please do. but turnabout's fair play, right? So I want to get to ask you some tough questions along the way as well. And we're going to get to learn from your experience because you've had tremendous experience really not only in really a leadership role and a creative role in really a ministry with international scope. You also are coaching leaders with us, and you also have a marketing firm as well. So really excited to be working on this with you. And so, let's dive into this new format, try it out, see how it runs, and let's dive into this topic.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Well, it is a pleasure to be here. And these are absolutely the important topics that we need to talk about for leaders. You know, you bring up the topic of this term called rapid success projects, and it has my ear. I'm sure other people are wondering, what is this term, rapid success projects? What does that mean?
Well, I'm just glad you're excited about it, I guess. Maybe we picked a good topic. So rapid success projects, I think the first time I came across this was a consulting firm that's been around a long time. This guy, Robert Schaefer, was really one of the early, kind of following Peter Drucker and work he was doing, one of those really early, really world-class professional business consultants out there, and started this great firm. And they still do amazing work. And they work with the highest level companies and the huge, huge nonprofit organizations on strategy and everything. They worked with GE for years. Mm-hmm. And they developed this method that's a very tight process for them called rapid success projects. And I got really captivated by the idea because I had the opportunity to work with some leaders who had worked with that company, had really learned the value of these skills. So it's just been something I've been really fascinated about, and then thought a lot about, okay, how do I take this and simplify this for most leaders in the work that they're doing, whether that's their ministry organization, whether that's their small business, whether it's maybe even a volunteer role that they have, or maybe they're the CEO or the director of their organization. So it's something I've probably now, I would think probably for 14 or 15 years, been playing with this concept, but more than that, just trying to simplify it down to some basic things that people can really apply. So, and I like the idea of success. I think we all do. And you put rapid in front of it, this has got to be good, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, we're in a day and age, and we're in a country where everybody, you know, we want to see results quickly from things when it comes to weight loss, when it comes to pretty much anything we're doing. And so when you say rapid success, I think our ears are open. You know, so tell us a little bit more about what is this tool for? Like, who is it for? Can we all utilize this rapid success model? Talk to us about
I think it's particularly most effective when you're talking about someone in an influential role. And I don't know, it'd be interesting to think about how do you apply this to your personal life. Maybe we could talk about that a little bit. But let's start with the idea of you're in an influential role, you're in a leadership role in an organization or a company. The challenge is that we see that people are pretty resistant to change, right? But even when you get a good change process going or something you're trying to improve or implement in your plan, there you might see a lot of flurry of activity at the beginning, and then they begin to kind of fizzle out with the energy and focus, and people kind of get back to day-to-day as usual. So any leader out there that's tried to bring about positive change or implement a plan, they know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah.
So the challenge is, how do you keep people moving forward over the long haul? Well, the concept of rapid success projects basically says, you know, maybe we don't really need to worry about sustaining this over the long haul. Research actually shows that it's very hard to focus people's time, attention, and energy and resources in one single direction longer than 100 days. Mm-hmm. And this plays itself out in so many ways. You've heard people talk about, you know, every 90 days you need to reinvigorate the vision. Pastors talk about that a lot. You'll hear theologians talk about Nehemiah and how every 90 days or 100 days or so, it seems like he was recasting the vision. He was reminding the people why they were rebuilding the wall in Jerusalem at that time. And then you talk to business leaders and they're talking about, gosh, you know, why is it we're able to mobilize these people? How do we do that in this quarter, right? Mm-hmm. So 100 days, what people have found in terms of social research is that people really do, it's not our imagination, they really do lose focus after time. And so you've got to recast that. Mm-hmm. And there's a time and place for that. But the rapid success model, what it does is it says, we're going to take this 100 days and we're going to treat this as a defined project with a start point and an end point, because we're going to unlock all that energy and focus that we see, particularly in emergencies or crisis situations.
Yeah.
We're going to take all that and we're going to create a good crisis, a positive crisis, over a very short period of time. And so what you're doing is you're saying that we're starting on this date, we're ending on this date, and I have found that's best done in a 100-day period.
That is very interesting. I mean, the thing that I kind of wonder about that is we hear these leadership conversations about not being reactionary to things, you know, not putting out fires, but being intentional in the things that we do.
Mm-hmm.
But you're saying that you're actually creating a fire and putting intentionality around it. Is that right? Are there steps?
What a great concept, right? It's almost like, you know, a forest fire. You don't want to be in a reactionary mode to a forest fire. But if you know anything about forest fires and fighting them, you actually know that they do something called a controlled burn. And so this is kind of that controlled burn where you're saying, you know, we know where we need to get long term. Okay, we're not in a reactionary node at the leadership level. But the bottom line is we're dealing with people that are human, flawed, all of us are. So they may be reacting, you know, and maybe you've had a few weeks, everybody's on point, everybody's moving on their long term plan, and all of a sudden, you know, we run out of toilet paper, and why do we have this toilet paper crisis? And do we have enough cash to buy toilet paper and solve this problem? So people do get off focus. People do lose that momentum over the long haul. So as a leader, you're responsible for having a very clear picture of where you're wanting this to go over the long term. This 100-day cycle isn't 100 days of reaction, but what we're doing is saying we're going to have a very defined scope and get people very motivated over a short period of time on a piece that is going to take us forward over the long haul. So that's the distinction there, is you don't want people reacting in an uncontrolled way, but you are giving them something, yes, to react to. But the reaction is increased focus, increased energy, increased forward momentum, essentially, on your project.
Wow. So it sounds like you're actually taking energy that's available through people, like the resources God has given you, people, finances, whatever the case may be. You're harnessing that energy. You're putting them together and you're saying, let's get together for this cause. This is, you know, the time commitment I'm asking from you. And let's just really push this. I mean, is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if I said to you, hey, let's work together on this project and we're going to spend the next 30 years of our lives progressing forward on this podcast. I mean, you're going to be excited about it at first, but then suddenly the next 29 years are going to start feeling really, really long, right?
Right.
We get lost in that. So, and the other challenge, you and I've talked about this on teams that we've been involved in. No person that is human goes to work tomorrow saying, how can I work harder, more focused, and even better today and put in more energy? The human nature is to say, how can I work smarter? How, you know, and I'm giving people the benefit of the doubt, right?
Right.
But how can I work smarter? How can I work better? Maybe how can I get greater output for less energy? You know, we are oriented, unless something different is pushing us, we're oriented to work less tomorrow than we did today. And that, so something has to be introduced kind of into our world, into our environment, to change that dynamic. And that's what a Rapid Success Project really does, is where it's saying, you know, we are all in this for the long haul. We have this 30-year plan or this 10-year plan, but we're going to just focus on the next 100 days doing the right thing that's going to move us forward in a big way.
I like that. I mean, it sounds like you're really able to get the best out of people before they hit that burnout, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, and you get to determine, you know, what is the next 100 days following this one, another 100-day project? Or is this a season of a little bit of rest or downshifting or longer-term investment? So it's not 100 days after 100 days after 100 days of this emergency level energy. But what we've seen, and I have seen this over and over and over again, I know you have too, when people get really focused over a fairly short period of time, unbelievable things can happen, and that they, frankly, that they never knew were possible. And that's what this technique really, really, really unlocks. So let me dig into, you know, maybe we can dig into a few of the, like, maybe a simple framework that people can actually apply.
Yeah, I find that our listeners really like to hear step-by-step, you know, the play-by-play. So show us what that looks like.
You bet, you bet. So I think the first thing is that you've got to establish a 100-day period that you want to actually accomplish something great within. So, and when I say 100 days, I don't mean, you know, oh, let's, you know, we're next quarter. Literally, start date, look on your calendar, go 100 days out. Declare an end date. So you've got to establish right off the bat, I think, what is this 100-day period that we're talking about? I think I also suggest that people really think through what are the five major things that we want to move forward during that period of time? And that's going to help you really determine, are we focusing all this energy in the right area? So I recommend not more than five or six. Personally, when I'm doing 100-day projects, I keep it to five. And that really helps me define out what we're working on over that period of time. So you start by defining the time period. You begin to kind of think through just yourself as a leader. What are the five big things I would really like to see us move forward on in this 100 days? And then you're really shifting into, how do we make this a rapid success project? Okay. So that starts with defining a list of people. So you know me, I'm big into lists and lists of people. You've got to start with, okay, who are the people that really I want to try to mobilize in this period of time to accomplish these five big things?
And let me ask you about that. I mean, can you have a small group to a big group, or do you have to have a big team to do this?
No, it can be small to big. Here's the distinction, though. What you don't want to do is say, okay, my 100-day project is I'm going to meet with 100 people. Yeah, I've got all these people that could do all this stuff, and what I'm going to do is just meet with all of them over time. That's not really a rapid success project. That's called you leading a whole lot of people, trying to move them forward. What you're looking for here is a list of people who you're saying, who can I borrow influence from? Who is influential in work or area or capacities that I cannot do? I cannot go and do what they can do. So you're looking for people who you're going to get things done through. And yeah, they could be on your team and working directly for you. They could be volunteers. They could be staff. But often in a ministry, nonprofit organization, what I'm saying to people is you need to go and develop that list of people who can mobilize a whole other group of people. So so you build that list and keep it focused on, who am I going to mobilize that is going to get things done in this period of time? So it's getting things done through others.
Great. So what's the next step after that?
So that's really the first step. Let's get this list and let's focus your time on then, how do I mobilize their influence over this period? So we've got this group. Let's say we've come up with 10 people that over the next 100 days, you're really going to push them forward. You are going to want to meet with those people. This is not something you can do over email or over the phone. You've got to sit down with them and cast a vision for that 100 days and what this is going to mean, what the end result is going to be. But then this is the critical question. You say, what I'm meeting with you today about is what I want to do is, you and I together, let's identify what you can accomplish in this 100-day project. What is the big impact that you could have?
So some ownership from their end.
Exactly. So, for instance, if we're talking about a giving project for a nonprofit organization, we're going to be saying to, you know, you, Sarah, Sarah, you have your own company, you know a lot of people. Here's what I'm trying to see us accomplish in the 100-day period. Who are you going to be able to mobilize, or what could you take on that's going to make the most impact? And why this works is I'm not asking you to volunteer for a position that lasts forever. I'm not asking you to take on a new job or a new role. I'm just asking you to think about what is the greatest impact you can have in this 100-day period. And that may be all that I'm going to ask you for a while. But it's going to get something pulled out of you as we talk together that we've not thought of.
Very cool. So it's kind of, I mean, it sounds like that you're doing constituent engagement too. I mean, you're pulling people in and saying, hey, you matter in this process. Mm-hmm. What do you feel in your heart you can bring to the table to move us forward?
Mm-hmm. And most of the time, just when you sit down with someone, they're going to have, when you ask this type of question and you paint that picture of what you want to accomplish, they're going to have ideas of the impact they could have you would never have thought of. So that's one of the great things about this, is that you are not saying, I am the leader and I'm going to get all these people marching to what I think they need to do. Instead, you're engaging them to saying, I know clearly where we want to be 100 days from now. Mm. It's a huge, impossible task. So what is it you can do? What do I not know that you might be able to do? And that's where the surprises happen, because you'll find out they can influence people you didn't know that they could. They might have resources that they can get to that you didn't know that they could. They might have talents and abilities that they look at and go, gosh, that is a no-brainer for me. I mean, you would have to spend years to figure out how to do that. I can do that in the next 100 days, you know, and it's nothing to me. That's who I am. Wow. So that's what this really unlocks when you have that conversation. But it has to be face-to-face when you're talking about this handful of people that you are trying to unlock their work ethic. So that's part number one, is develop your list of influencers. Know that you're trying to get this project done through them, and you've got to meet with them face-to-face, help them see the vision, and try to pull out of them and get them thinking about the impact that they can have. And so that's number one. Number two is you've got to establish some milestones along the way. Even though this is 100 days, in today's world, 100 days, people are like, oh yeah, we talked about that, didn't we? 100 days ago.
Right, exactly. Right?
So you've got
to, measurements.
Exactly. And I think every 3 weeks or so have milestones that unfold. And the more you can front end, this is what I've learned the hard way, the more you can front end load the work where you're getting everyone mobilized really quickly early on in the first half of this one, or at least the first 50, then the second half, you're really helping them follow through and follow up. Mm. So let's say in 100 days, your goal is to get a certain level of dollars committed to your organization. Or maybe you're in a company, you're trying to raise a certain amount of capital in 100 days. Or maybe you're trying to implement a totally new way of hiring people, or a new way of teaching people to get better in your organization. The more of that you can plan with this group on the front end and quickly begin implementing on the first half of this, the more you can use the second half of those 100 days to make sure that the follow-through is really there. And the milestones help you do that when you're doing that every 3 weeks.
That's interesting. Yeah. Okay, so I like that. So it sounds like at the beginning you're kind of clarifying your expectations to kind of keep the communication process clean from A to B.
Absolutely. But it's participatory, right? It's collaborative, because, again, the distinction here is the difference between a 100-day rapid success project and just pushing people harder is you as a leader saying, okay, everybody, let's get motivated. Let's go. Here's where we go. Let's go. Let me remind you of the vision. A rapid success project, you're saying to them, here's where we could be in 100 days if all of us really mobilized our work and our energy and our talents at best. But as a leader, I don't know exactly how to do that, but you do. So you tell me what is it that you're going to be able to do.
Love it.
Now, and then thirdly, I think, so number two is, as I said, updating some milestones or preparing some milestones as a leader along for every 3 weeks in this 100 days, so people are able to have a sense and ownership of where they said that they could be in that. And then the third aspect of this, I really like to challenge people to focus on working with people who will mobilize new centers of influence. Mm. So like in the giving world, in the philanthropy world, I would maybe say this is a great way to have one influencer reach a totally different new group of people to give, like in their, maybe someone in their, in a big company.
So like expanding your network.
Right. Exactly. Or maybe this is someone that is really influential in a church that you're trying to grow a better relationship with. Or maybe they are involved in an organization you're trying to partner with. And so you can really focus on that one person and helping them define what they can accomplish in that center of influence that they have over that 100-day period. So an example of that is, I one time was working with one guy, built a relationship with him, defined out a 100-day project and kind of the people that I wanted to work with on this, and went to him and I said, so in 100 days from now, this is where we want to be on our giving. This is where we need to be on our commitments. And I'm trying to mobilize people for this. What is it that you could do? And he goes, gosh, you know, we could have a meeting, maybe a dinner, and I'll invite all the key people that I think I can easily mobilize to come to this. And then we'll follow up and see where all that goes. And it ended up being over $1 million of capital committed.
Wow.
Just from that one individual's influence. And that was only one person involved in the whole project of that 100-day period. And if I had gone to him and said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to everyone that you know. I want you to get him over $1 million credit. You've said, no way. I mean, But instead of helping him just see the problem or the opportunity, right?
Right, yeah, exactly.
And then asking him, what is it that he could do to impact where we were going to be 100 days from now? And then the key word I mentioned, too, is he said, this is what I could easily do.
Wow.
And so that was that's an aspect of this as well, is you're getting people to think about what's in their strengths, what's in their skill set, what's in their influence base, and how do they mobilize that in that short period of time. And a lot of times we're talking about things that are easy for them. Right.
Yeah. So I guess collaboration really is a huge part of it. You don't want to be micromanaging. Let them grow into however they feel led to grow and to
exactly.
help and partner with
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the thing. As the leader, while you may have the best and clearest sense of where this is going ultimately for your vision, and I think that's a key responsibility for the leader, is to really see and shape the future.
Mm-hmm.
What you don't know is what the person across the table could actually do to impact that. So you will never be smart enough to really do that. You might be able to get them started. You might be able to get better things out of them than they realize, but you do not have the intelligence to be able to say, I mean, none of us do, to say, here are the 20 things that I just know you can do that are going to impact our plan. Instead, you have to ask the right questions. And this process really helps you do that.
That's great. So go through those steps one more time for our listeners.
You
so
bet.
We can make sure that we ingrain these into our mind and get the results we're hoping for in this rapid success model.
Absolutely. So first, we define the scope of the project, the period of time. And you have a start date and an end date 100 days from now. The next is, as the leader individually, you think about the five big areas that you would like to see changed over that period of time, or what you would like to see accomplished. And I'd rather people not do more than five or six. Then you define your list. It starts with a list. Who are the people that I'm going to work to get these things done through? I'm working through other people. I'm going to borrow from their influence. I'm going to unlock their capacity rather than just thinking about what we can currently do. I'm going to meet with those people individually, maybe even pull them together if that's what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to get them to catch a vision for this impossible idea of where we could be 100 days from now. And I'm going to get them to really think about and articulate the impact that they can have and what they could do and can do and might even be able to easily do in that 100-day period. And I'm going to build in milestones along the way so that people are able to own and see where the progress is being made. It's best if you front-end load the work on the first half, so that the second half can be follow up and digging deeper. And then lastly, as I said, that the tip, I guess, for all this is be sure that whenever possible, you're thinking about encouraging and equipping and partnering with these individuals to really mobilize a new center of influence that they have.
Wow, that is amazing. I love how simple you make it. And I'm excited because It sounds like people of all different types of leadership, all different, you know, models of leadership, they can utilize this and get themselves and their team to move forward with success.
Absolutely. So, well, it's awesome sharing this topic as well. And of course, anyone that is listening to us could reach out to us. Obviously, you and I both have a lot of opinions. And we are happy to share them, aren't we?
It's true.
If people ask the right questions, who knows what they can get out of us in 100
That's
days.
That's right. Let's see what we can provide. So we're excited to have the opportunity to sit down today. And we thank our listeners for joining us today. This episode of Vision Unleashed is brought to you by Development and Leadership Coaching. If you've enjoyed this podcast, head on over to iTunes and give us a quick review. And obviously, the highest compliment you could pay us is to review us and refer us to others. So until next time we're together, keep moving forward.